Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we're going to learn the purpose of life.
Now, it's very obvious that human beings were made for worship, because you find human beings in every sector of life, in every square inch of the planet where people live, they worshiped. Maybe it's worshiping idols, or maybe it's worshiping ancestors, but they worship something. Even atheists who say there is no God, the Lord says, well, they're worshiping. And we have people in our world today, and they worship money, and they worship pleasure, and they worship sex, and they worship self. But we were made to worship God. There is truth, there is truth, there is blessed, there is hope.
This world really is full of all kinds of worship, but true worship is what the Lord desires from all men and women and boys and girls. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today for an insightful message called Made for Worship. Pastor Jeff shares from his series, Living on Purpose. What is worship? What's it supposed to be? What is worship not to be? And what is required in our hearts for true worship to take place? Here's Pastor Jeff with a message that will remind us that we were made for worship.
The Lord says there are two kinds of worship. There is the person who is a true worshiper and offers true worship to God and connects with God truly and rightly and life-changingly. And then there is false worship. The world is filled with false worship. And even in church, you can have people come together for a quote-unquote worship service, and some will truly worship, and some won't, even though they're in the same worship service. Now, Jesus in John chapter 4 had a conversation with a Samaritan woman. She was not, you know, we've all heard about the Good Samaritan. She wasn't the Good Samaritan. She was the Bad Samaritan. She had had five husbands, and she was living with a guy who was not her husband. Things weren't good in this woman's life. She was very immoral, and the Lord had an appointment with her. The Lord was going to lead her to himself, and the Lord was going to change her whole town and her whole city because they were going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in his conversation with this woman, they begin to discuss this important topic of worship. She says to him in verse 20, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim in Samaria. And you people, you Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers," important, "true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Jesus said, talked about the true worshipers, and I want to ask you this question. Are you a true worshiper? Are you a true worshiper? Let's discover three discoveries that we want to see from this text today that will help us determine, are we really true worshipers? Are we offering to God true worship that is pleasing to him, that is acceptable to him? Because, you know, worship is not for us per se. We gather to worship him. So three discoveries. Discovery number one, true worship is not about a place. It's not about a place. She says in verse 20, "Well, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. Now, she was a Samaritan. Samaritans were Jewish half-breeds. They were half Jew, half Gentile. The true Jews couldn't stand the Samaritans. They had no dealing with Samaritans because they saw them as turncoats. You know, in the Jewish community, you weren't supposed to marry outside the faith. You weren't supposed to marry a non-Jew. But what happened to these people, see, Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom. When God began the kingdom of Israel, it was one thing. But then when Solomon's son Rehoboam took the throne, the kingdom split. There was a civil war, and you have 10 tribes that are in the north and 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that are in the south, and their capital city is Jerusalem. Well, the 10 tribes that split, their capital city was Samaria. And King Ahab was king when Samaria became the capital. And so they had their own form of worship. They had their own place where they would worship. And so the Samaritans said, well, you know, this is the place where we're supposed to worship. We're supposed to worship in Samaria. And Samaria had Mount Gerizim. And that was the supposedly the place. They said, this is where Adam worshiped and sacrificed there in Mount Gerizim. And so that's where you're supposed to worship. And the Jews said, no, 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 you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Well, she was trying to get into a religious discussion with Jesus about, well, I'm not really sure where to worship. Well, the truth of the matter is, God chose Jerusalem. God chose Mount Zion, another name for Jerusalem, which he loved. And he had Solomon build the temple there in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. Well, that's where they were supposed to come worship. But see, worship is not just a place. Moses worshiped God on Mount Sinai when he was receiving the Ten Commandments. Man, there was worship going on there. David worshiped God in the cave of Adullam. Elijah worshiped God on Mount Carmel. The disciples worshiped the Lord in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. We have to be careful when we talk about worship that we don't think of worship as a place. As a place. Now, you'll hear this a lot in church. People will talk about a church like ours, and they'll call this place the sanctuary. You know, there are churches that have the sanctuary choir. Early in my Christian life, my pastor, Damond Shook, he would always take issue with that. He wouldn't let anyone call the worship center a sanctuary. And here's why. A sanctuary means a holy place. He said, this room is not a sanctuary. He said, Christians are the sanctuary. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this, do you not know that your body is a temple, is a sanctuary, is the holy place of the Holy Spirit? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. This is a worship center. This is where individual sanctuaries come and gather to worship God, because God doesn't live here in this building. He lives here in my heart and in your heart, if you're a follower and a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives inside. Your body is a temple. Your body is the Holy of Holies. So true worship is not about a place. And that's what Jesus was driving home with her. Second discovery, true worship is not about a performance. Not a place and not a performance. It's not a, I'm just clocking in. I'm just going to check the box. So many people think that's what worship is. Was I in Sunday school today? Yes, I was. Check. Did I come to the worship service? Yes, I did. Check. Did I drop some money in the plate? Yes, I did. Check. Did I stay awake during the pastor's sermon? For most of it. Check. So they're just checking boxes. That's what the Pharisees did. They checked boxes. And they would show their checked boxes to God and say, look at me, God. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all that I have. What a good boy am I. And this is what the Lord said to them in Matthew chapter 15. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 29. That's why it's all in caps. And it says this, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." It's vain worship. It's empty. It's meaningless. It doesn't amount to anything. Your time that you said you quote unquote were worshiping God, God says, you didn't worship me. It was just a waste of your time and mine. In the book of Isaiah, where this was taken from, Isaiah chapter 29, Jesus or the Lord talks in there about the people giving him lip service. They would say the things that he thought, that they thought God wanted to hear. Have you ever noticed some people do that? They give God lip service, just tell the Lord what they think he wants to hear. And when they come before the Lord, some churches, I grew up in a church where it was just the same every week. Is the same prayers. And you know, the difficulty in that is everything becomes a ritual and everything becomes rote and old hat, and you can do it in your sleep. And when you have a situation like that, then you easily and quickly lose heart and lose meaning. And that's what the Lord says. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. You're just going through the motions. You're just checking boxes. That's not worship. That's not worship. And the Lord says, hey, that's vain. In vain do they worship me. It's a waste of time. I love the church in Brooklyn called the Brooklyn Tabernacle with Pastor Jim Cimbala and his wife Carol, who leads their choir, 280 voice choir. Such an awesome story how God took that little church that started so many decades ago, where Jim became the pastor, and it was just a dying church, and they had 8 or 10 people in the choir, and how God has taken that and used that church and used that choir all over the world. Well, one of the things that Carol said when I was at a conference there, she said, you know, we get calls quite often, and people will ask if the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir will come and perform for us. And she said, I always tell them the same thing. No, we don't do that. We don't perform. This isn't a performance choir. We worship the Lord. That's what we do. This isn't about performing. See, here's what happens when you perform. And especially when a choir performs. When a choir performs, everything is horizontal. You come to watch them perform. And they're performers. And they sing the songs and they do the things, and then you clap for them. We don't want that in church, because church is about vertical. We're here for an audience of one, and that is God. And so everything that the choir does is to lift us up and lift our head up to the one of whom we're worshiping, the one that we offer our worship. And I love that about the Brooklyn Tabernacle. We don't perform. We're not performers. We worship the Lord. And God has so blessed that. Listen, worship is not about performing. It's not about going through the motions. You know, it's a love relationship. And just like in marriage, if you try to perform for your spouse, if you say the right things, but your heart is disengaged, if you honor your spouse with your lips, but your heart is far away from your spouse, pretty soon your spouse figures it out. Hey, you're checked out. You're just saying things. This just isn't real. And then nobody wants that kind of relationship, a check-the-box marriage. People want a loving relationship. God wants that too. So it's not about a place, and it's not about a performance. True worship is about a person. It's about a person. It's about the Lord God. And the Lord God, the Father who is Spirit, has revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, and we worship the Father in the Spirit, through the Son. And all three are involved in the Godhead, are involved in worship. And it's about a person. And the Holy Spirit's job is to shine the light on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he shall glorify me. His whole job is to say, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, look at Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Worship is all about the Lord God, and we worship him. It's an audience of one. Now, Jesus said to her, verse 22, you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Salvation doesn't come from the Samaritans. Salvation comes from the Jews. Christianity is Jewish in its roots, in its origins. It's the Judeo-Christian faith, because Jesus Christ was a Jew, and all the disciples were Jews. And the early believers were Jews. It's Jewish, and salvation is from the Jews. But he says, an hour is coming, verse 23, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, what exactly is worship? What is involved here? Well, when you truly worship the Lord, you worship him because he alone is worthy. He is worthy. And worship is tied to worth. The old English word that we get the word worship is a word that's pronounced worship, and it means worth or worthiness. And so when you worship the Lord, you recognize his worthiness. Worthy, thou art worthy, as they sing in the book of Revelation. God is worthy, and he alone is worthy. When the Bible talks in John chapter 4, and it uses that word worship in the New Testament, that word proskuneo, that word means to kiss the hand. It's kind of a picture of a dog before his master. You know, I have three dogs at home, and when I go home today after church, those dogs will come up, and they'll, especially one of them, Lola, she'll just lick all over me. She just loves to lick her master. That's a picture of worship, where it's the one that's subservient is bowing and prostrating and doing homage and licking the hand of the master. That's what the Bible calls worship. And that's what we're to do with the Lord. We recognize our unworthiness, and we recognize the fact that he alone is worthy. The fear of the Lord is recognizing who God is, and it's recognizing who you are. And when you recognize who God is and who you are, you worship him, and you fall down prostrate before the Lord, and you worship him. Because he is the great God, and you and I are nothing compared to him. What an honor that he would even allow us to worship him. It's about recognizing his worth. And when we worship the Lord, we deal rightly with our sins. I find it interesting in this passage and in this conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well, that what precedes the discussion on worship is a discussion about her morality. It's about her sins. You know, when he says to her, he's talking to her about living water. And she says, well, I'd love to have some living water. By all means, get me this water. He said, go call your husband and tell him to come. And she said, well, I have no husband. He said, that's right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. This you've said truly. Well, he starts to penetrate, and he starts to deal with the things in her heart and the sins there, and she quickly changes the subject. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Let's talk about something else now. She doesn't like it because it gets down into the heart of her sin. But see, here's the thing. If you're going to really worship God, if I'm going to really worship God, we have to deal with sin, and we have to deal with sin rightly. Most of us want to throw a sheet over our sin, just kind of cover it up and hide it. put lipstick on a pig, and we just act like everything's hunky-dory, and we know that it's not, and God knows that it's not. And we want to come before the Lord, and we want to sing the songs, and God is saying, hey, you know what? You got to deal with this stuff in your heart, with this immorality, with this greed, with this bitterness, with this envy, with this jealousy, with this whatever. And you're trying to cover it up, and you're trying to put on a smiley face and act like you can sing my praises and not deal with the sin in your life. Well, you can't. Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity, wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I'm not going to be able to connect with God in worship unless I first deal with the sin. Now, Proverbs 28, 13 is a favorite of mine. It says, he who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. If you try and cover your sins, God will uncover your sins. You try and throw a sheet over it. You try and just act like, whoa, I got this here, but God's not going to see. Hey, the Lord sees. He sees down in your heart. So you try and cover it over. Achan tried that in the Old Testament. He stole some things that belonged to God, didn't belong to him, and he buried them in his tent, and the Lord revealed that to Joshua, and if you cover it, God will uncover it, and it'll be filled with shame. But here's the good news. If you will uncover it, if you will get it out from under that cloak, if you'll get it out of the shadows and bring it before the Lord and say, God, this is what I did. And God, I'm so sorry. And God, have mercy. You uncover it, and then God covers it in his blood. And he washes it white as snow. Hey, if you're going to worship the Lord and really recognize his worthship, you have to deal with sin. You can't come before the Lord holding on to sin and pretending like it doesn't matter.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And if we as believers are to come to God with any genuine worship, I mean the real stuff, then it'll have to be with all known sin confessed. Pastor Jeff will speak more about this tomorrow in part two of the lesson called Made to Worship. Now, this lesson is from Pastor Jeff's series, Living on Purpose. Have you considered that question? What is your purpose in life? Well, is it to grow to be famous or rich or to have children or to have fun all the time or just to please others so they'll like you or just to have more Facebook friends? Well, you may laugh, but lots of people, young and old, spend a lot more time on Facebook than they do with the Lord. Our purpose for living is to love God, to love people, and to shine and share for his glory. But how do we do that? How do you learn to put God in everything you do? Pastor Jeff Shreve's series this month called Living on Purpose will help you do that. And it's our gift of thanks to you this month for your support of any amount to From His Heart. It's available in multiple formats. Just call 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift and request Living on Purpose. The number again, 866-40-BIBLE. And of course, you can always go online to fromhisheart.org to make your secure gift. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry. Everything you give goes to help us speak the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Again, 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. And God bless you. Well, time is up for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, reminding you that you heard part one of this lesson called Made for Worship today. But Pastor Jeff will have part two on Wednesday, when we will learn more about the importance of worship.
Someone described worship this way. They said it is a total adoring response that you have to God for who he is. It's a must. It's a necessity. It's not a nicety. It's not a take it or leave it. And what matters when you worship God is not do you say you worship, but does God say you really worshiped?
Join us right back here tomorrow when Pastor Jeff Shreve will share God's word so we can hear the real truth from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for you. Find out about that. Go to FromHisHeart.org.